T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is a Falcons Friday live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from Racetrack off Thornton Road at I-20. If you're headed inbounds, heading east on I-20 from Villarica or Tallapoosa, Douglasville, any points that are west of us from the Alabama state line, headed in, you just take a right and come up about a quarter of a mile, caddy corner from the Toyota dealership, and we are here talking to the fans, getting ready for what is going to be an incredible week, weekend here in Atlanta. The Braves playing at SunTrust Park again tonight and through Sunday against the Colorado Rockies. And, of course, this three-day weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons tonight again, 5 o'clock, pregame show, 7 o'clock kick. Corky Kell tomorrow, and then on Sunday, finally.
Yes.
Finally, Atlanta United gets back onto the field. It seems like it's been longer than 2 weeks, Randy Mack.
Yes.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the five stripes with the team president, Darren Eales, who joins us live this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Darren.
Morning, chaps. How are you doing?
Doing good, Darren. Darren, just like John was saying, it seems like it's been forever since United has had a match, especially, you know, considering that, you know, it didn't end well the last time we saw them on the pitch. What are some of the things that a team like, you know, that's going through a, you know, can't close out but they have time off, what is something they usually typically work on in practice?
Yeah, look, you're right, Randy. It's so frustrating because we had a game where, you know, in terms of the performance on the pitch, it was one of our better performances. We created loads of chances. We just didn't finish it off against Toronto. And then you have 2 weeks before your next game, so you're champing at the bit, wanting to get out there, and you can't. But, I mean, I think Tata's used it as a couple of things. Firstly, you know, for us, it's a break in the season, a chance to get some, you know, energy back for the team. If you think back to last season, we had the opposite where our schedule was backloaded the second half of the season. So I think we're aware that this, you know, we're in a better place now where we can sort of get the guys some rest as we come into the crunch time of the season. And then secondly, you know, try to work on those mental things about closing a game down, because it's happened to us a couple of times this season where we were sitting pretty and we just didn't get that third goal to kill off a team, and then we've let one another death.
We're talking with Darren Eales, team president of Atlanta United, and of course full coverage of the Five Stripes and the Columbus Crew. Sunday kickoff, 4 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on Sunday, and the kick at 4 as they take on the Crew. Darren, so many things to talk about. Let's just touch on what you said just a moment ago about not finishing. We've talked to on this program to Brad Guzan about it. We talked to Jeff Lorenowitz a couple of days ago about it. What do you, as team president, see in the team just getting back on their heels and the inability to kind of shut teams down when they get the lead late?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't want to sort of overdo it, because you tend to get this in soccer. It's one of these things where you remember the last incident. So if you think of some of the games going back to last season where we scored winners in the death, you know, so these things sometimes go in runs, and also you have to be leading to be able to give up a lead. So, you know, we're always going to give up more leads than, say, Orlando, because we're going to be ahead more times than them. So I think, you know, there's that element, but there's no doubt that we've had a couple. Dallas springs to mind, obviously, Toronto, where the real shame was we were totally on top. And I think, you know, it's more about trying to get those goals while we're in the ascendancy, because then we don't have to worry. You know, we can actually, and it'd be good for all of us, president included, to relax at the end of the game with a nice three-goal lead and be biting your nails with a one-goal lead, hoping you're not conceding. So, you know, it's a big game for us Sunday, because it's a chance to sort of put that last result to bed back in front of our home fans.
Hey, Darren, the transfer window, it was a couple – trade deadline, whatever you want to call it, it was a couple of weeks ago, and the United, you guys are so banged up, especially in the back end. Was there anybody out there that you were looking at possibly to add to this team because of so many injuries?
No, I mean, I think we felt – you know, we got Eric in, which was a big player for us. I mean, he's now – had two starts for the team and has looked, you know, really comfortable. I mean, I've been impressed with the way that he's fitted in with the squad. And, you know, we knew when Carlos Carmona went just before the start of this season that that was a position that we needed to look for. But, you know, we took our time, and I think, you know, we've got a real good player there for this season and for the future. So we were pleased about that. And then, you know, we do have strength in depth. And again, I think it's great testament to the squad that we've got and to the academy that, you know, Tatar is saying, he's happy with the cover he's got, and even if that means George Bello, our 16-year-old homegrown player who can play left back, needs to come in a situation, then he's confident that he can rely on him. So I think that says a lot for the manager as well, that he has that confidence in our youth system coming through.
Well, yeah, and he had been afraid to pull the trigger. 16, wow. I mean, with Andrew Carlton and some of the other young players that have seen the pitch, the Barcos and whatnot of the world. Are you confident at this point? I know we want to talk about the Columbus game on Sunday. I want to ask you about that. But as we think about Columbus and what happened in the playoffs last year, and we kind of project forward to the playoffs this year because we know United's going to make it, are you comfortable that now, Darren, that you're going to have potentially a full complement of teams? We talk about the injuries, but could we see some guys coming back to the fold by the time we get towards the playoffs in October?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, we're hopeful. We've got players like Darlington Nagbe who can hopefully come back before the end of the season, Greg Garza. So, again, you think about it, there's two all-star players. Greg was an all-star last year and Darlington got voted this year, but unfortunately couldn't play because of the injury. But there's two sort of key players for us that can come back into the squad, so they'll be like new signings almost as they come back. So, I feel like we're in a good place now. You always get injuries, and we had it with Mikey and with Sal Zizo. These things happen, but that's why I think the depth we have this year definitely puts us in a better position than we were last year when, as an expansion team, we were stretched a little bit thin.
Darren, a guy you guys brought in, it's been about a month, is Rometty, and the initial thing is that we thought that he's a defensive guy, a tough guy, and we talked to Jeff and we talked to Jason Longshore and guys like that, and they said he's doing a lot more than just being a defender or enforcer-type guy. Is it what you expected when you guys signed him, or has he been a pleasant surprise as far as offensively, him pushing forward?
No, I mean, I think he's been a pleasant surprise for us around in how quickly he settled, because, again, coming in during the season is always more difficult. He'd obviously hadn't played for a while because the season had ended in Argentina. But he slotted in the two games he started and looked, right at home in Tata's system. Look, I mean, he was someone that we'd spent a lot of time scouting to get the right person to come in there. I think what's been great is, look, he works really hard getting around the pitch and, he's not afraid of a tackle, which was one of the attributes that we felt the team needed and we were excited to get in, Eric. But the other key thing for us is, any player on the pitch has got to be able to pass the ball in the system that we try to play. And that's the great thing, I think, with Eric, is that he has that ability to make a pass, to switch the play, and he's not afraid to burst forward if the opportunity presents itself. I mean, just yesterday, watching training, and he had an absolutely cracking goal he scored where he sort of came through through the field and Joseph fed him and he scored a great goal. So I think under Tata's system, he's getting more and more confidence to get forward if the opportunity arises. And, That obviously suits our style because we're always looking to attack whenever we can.
Talking with Darren Eales, team president of Atlanta United, ahead of the showdown with the Columbus Crew on Sunday at 4 o'clock kickoff at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And you mentioned the cracking goal in training. Let's talk about games here, because one of the things that I think Darren, Joseph Martinez is one goal shy of tying the all-time single-season record. He's going to shatter it. We've seen Miggy have a crack after crack and not quite convert here. Miggy, Tito, Julian Gressel, Rometty from midfield. Is there a concern that we've got to start to, or at least a desire on your part, that we got to see some other guys start to put the ball in the net? Not just to take the pressure off Joseph, but also maybe take some of the double-teaming off him?
No, I don't think so, John. I mean, this is the great sort of, in my view, misnomer of that debate. We're the top-scoring team in the league, so even if you take away Joseph's goals, we've got 50 goals and counting. So, to be honest, it's if it's Joseph scoring it, great. If it isn't Joseph, that's fine. We're the top-scoring team, so I've got no problem with Joseph breaking the record or scoring them. Or if not, we know that Miggy can get the goals. We know that Tito can score if he gets the opportunity. So, the reality is it does make me chuckle a little bit, but for the second season running, we're going to be probably the top-scoring team in the league. So I think we've got enough firepower all over the place.
Darren, when you and you were one of the big parts of putting this thing together from day one, scouting the players, signing the players. When you went to go see Joseph Martinez, did you see this? Because, Darren, we're disappointed if he doesn't score anymore. Did you see this ability to score when you were scouting him?
Look, we had our view that where he was playing, in Italy, and we felt, he was playing a little bit out of position. So in the system that we were looking to play, we felt that he would be more dangerous, but I'll be honest with you, Randy, no one would have imagined he'd score the number of goals he has. I mean, this is something that I think all of us have got to savor, fans included, because this just doesn't happen. If it does happen, it's very, very rare to get on this rate vein of form for a season. I mean, he's, you know, hopefully going to break the record on Sunday, and he's still got 9 games to go. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And I think, you know, I'll share one story with when we recruited him. So he was playing in Torino, and Joe Hart, he plays for England in goal, was playing on loan there. So I spoke to Joe just to get a reference. And, you know, I certainly owe Joe Hart a bottle of champagne when Joseph breaks a record, because basically his summary was he's a great character, dangerous player, and an amazing ability to head a ball, which is something that you don't think of with Joseph when you see his size, 5'7". But everything he said came true, because, you know, he's not only scoring goals, but his ability in the air for the size he is just phenomenal. And I've never seen, in all my time, someone get so hungry for goals.
Darren Eels, for another minute here. All right, to the game on Sunday, Darren, if you can, team president of Atlanta United, about Columbus. We know, you know, how it ended last year. Does that carry over? I mean, you've already seen them this season, but does it still carry over what happened at the end of last year to this game? And what is the challenge that this Columbus team presents to you?
I mean, I think, not sure it necessarily carries over, but clearly, we remember that game well, and the players will want to do their best in front of the fans, anything we can to get a win, to erase the sort of memory of that, you know, that penalty shootout, knockout. But look, they're a dangerous team. I mean, the one thing I would say is they're a team that tries to play football. You know, they try to play from the back, and actually for us, in terms of teams that we play against, that'll be novel, because quite a lot of teams are just sitting back and parking the bus. So I do think that they're a team that are dangerous, but if we're on our game, we've got a good chance to hopefully match them, you know, goal for goal, and hopefully get that big win that we need.
Darren Eels with John and Randy Mack.
Darren, when we were talking earlier in the show, and it just seems like when you're talking United, we're thinking that they're so far out ahead, because you look at the crowd, you're thinking we're the one of the top scoring teams. But both New York teams are right behind us. Are you at all worried about that, especially when you feel like the last couple of matches they've given away points instead of taking them away?
Yeah, definitely worried. I'd love to be 10 points clear of them. I mean, to be fair, I mean, you've got 3 good teams in the East, all with just 1 point splitting them. And so that's why for us, I mean, we can only focus on what we do, and we just got to try and get as many points as we can, and then hope that, you know, a few results go our way when teams are playing against New York. But ultimately, we can't rely on other teams doing the job for us. We've got to look at Columbus, get that win, and then obviously we have Orlando in our big sort of local rivalry the following week, and we just got to keep grinding it out. I mean, New York do play each other on Wednesday, so we know that someone's going to drop points when they play each other in the New York derby. So if we can just keep picking up the points, hopefully we can end the season with the Supporters' Shield.
Do appreciate it, Darren. We're all looking forward to the match on Sunday, getting back to Atlanta United. Thanks very much for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, Darren.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
All righty, Darren Eels, and again, 4:00 kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, coverage live at 3:30 on Sunday on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Well, this Falcons Friday wouldn't be complete without you trying to win, and hopefully $1,000 richer.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
LACK, L-A-C-K. I don't pick the words. They're like randomly generated. LACK, L-A-C-K to 72881. LACK to 72881.
Yes, LACK. We're lacking. On this week, I've been lacking sleep.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, yeah, because it's the morning show.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't sleep anyway, so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You don't suffer a lack of sleep.
3:00 comes in, like, might as well just get up.
Might as well get up.
What's that 40, yeah, what's that extra 45 going to do for me?
Nothing.
Might as well get up. Let's get up.
LACK to 72881, L-A-C-K to 72881. Message, data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. All that kind of stuff. Right? Yeah, LACK, hopefully you win $1,000. We're, you know, not going to be lacking for things to do this weekend. We mentioned the Braves at home all weekend, Mercedes-Benz Stadium Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Falcons tonight, Corky Kell tomorrow, and Atlanta United on Sunday. On this Falcons Friday, getting ready for the Falcons and Chiefs, and I just kind of catch your breath. I know you're going to have a busy time too, Randy Mack.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to have a good time this weekend. Me and my man Chris Goforth will be calling the last 3 games of Corky and Kell on right here at Sports Radio 99 The Game. And it's always fun working with Chris, because Chris is – he's that dude, man, and I just have fun working with him. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. our third year in a row. We're going to be over at Mercedes-Benz, so, and we're going to have Eric with us. So, you know, it's going to be a first-class production.
Yeah, and you get to see all that great high school talent around
yes.
here. I mean, the Colquitts, the North Gwinnett's, the Brookwoods, the McEacherns.
It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be it's really good day.
You got some power. That last game, though, North Cross and Mays.
Oof.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's on.
Yes, sir.
Two big teams. It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're broadcasting live from Racetrack on I-20 and Thornton Road. Come by, say hi. When we get back, we will, on this Falcons Friday, talk about the other side of the story. We're going to take you to Kansas City and see what they're saying about the game with Yahoo Sports senior writer Therese Paylor. He'll join us live and talk about the Chiefs' side of the story.
92.9 The Game, now streaming anywhere on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live from the racetrack in Lithia Springs on I-20 and Thornton Road, John and Randy Mack, Falcons and Chiefs tonight. Been great pleasure to meet all the Falcons fans.
Yes.
Having to deal with the one annoying Chiefs guy that we work with.
I mean, he's ready too, but this is what he does, though. What Mike does is Mike wears
Big
red.
Mike. Yeah.
He wears red, so he don't got to let nobody. If he's a real fan, he wears something to say Kansas City.
Yeah, right.
If he's a real fan. But he's scared.
Yeah, he
represents your team, dog.
Rep that Arrowhead.
You're not going to get fired, Mike. Where are your Chiefs gear to the Falcons game tonight?
Yeah, Money Mike, come on now.
Yeah.
Coverage begins at 5 tonight. Kick at 7 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. He got a shirt out there. Okay, whatever. Let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs side of things here. We bring into you the senior writer for Yahoo who covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Therese Paylor joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. Therese, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, doing well. Therese, I mean, might as well get to it. The biggest story probably this offseason was when Kansas City moves Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes is that guy. Do you, as a guy that's around this team that a lot, do you see this as an upgrade at a position, or is this like, well, we got this young guy, we might as well give him a shot because he is the future?
It'll be an upgrade in the long term. Alex Smith, very good quarterback. Probably be better this year than Patrick Mahomes just because there's nothing he hasn't seen. Well, there's plenty Patrick hasn't seen. But in the long term, people really here are really excited about Patrick's ability to throw from different platforms, throw on the move, and, kind of open up the offense. So, you know, in the long term, it was the right move for the franchise.
Therese Paylor covers the Kansas City Chiefs. He is the senior writer for Yahoo. He joins John and Randy Mack this morning on this Falcons Friday as the Chiefs and Falcons square off tonight. One of the interesting things I thought in regards to Pat Mahomes is Andy Reid tipping his hat a little bit about the fact that he's got to get this offense up on the same page by making the announcement, Therese, this week that first team offense is going to play the entire first half.
Yeah, I mean, Andy has a pretty typical way of doing things. So, you know, he likes to get those guys a lot of work in the second, third preseason game. So, I think, you know, that's kind of similar to what he's done in the past. He understands that Mahomes is a guy that hasn't had a lot of NFL reps, and you better take advantage of these ones right now that don't count while you can.
When you look at the skill position players around this young man, I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends. They go out and add another weapon in a Sammy Watkins. What do you expect him to bring? Because right now it seems like you got the deep threat in Tyreek Hill. What do they want? What do they expect from Sammy Watkins this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, the deep threat is Ty Hill, but Sammy Watkins is a much better possession receiver than people think, and he's a guy that can take the top off the defense, sure, but. You know, as a possession receiver, I think they're kind of hoping he can be a Michael Irvin type like the Cowboys had in the early 90s with Alvin Harper being the deep guy. So I think, you know, Michael Irvin, a little bit possession guy, slant ball type, guy that can run after the catch, command some attention from defenses, really make teams pay for paying single coverage. And that's the benefit of having a quarterback on a rookie deal. There's so much value at that position if the guy ends up being good. And that's certainly what the Chiefs are hoping for from Mahomes.
All right, well, tell me a little bit about Therese, Pat Mahomes. What do you see of him? I mean, give me a little bit of insight into him.
Yeah, okay, so you got, you know, strong arm and like an elite arm, you know, a real cannon. And there's no area of the field this guy can't reach. You know, Lewis Riddick is one of the most respected analysts in pro football. He's really excited. He calls him a convertible. And it's true. Like, he's got all the skills you need, all the skills you're looking for from a young quarterback. You know, I think he throws from different platforms, like I said earlier. He also creates. So if you watch him in the season finale last year against Denver, you know, there were times he was under pressure against a still pretty good Denver rush. He was just slithering out of tackles, staying alive, keeping his receivers alive, and delivering bullets. And finding a quarterback that can do that is really, really difficult. That's hard. You know, I think one thing that's important for him, though, is that they got to keep him clean and keep him healthy all season. You know, Pat's not the biggest quarterback in the world, about 6'3", 220. You know, that's a nice size. That's fine. But you know, if your line is getting crushed, you know, he's going to take some shots. And the Chiefs need to protect this guy. He's the future. So, you know, I think if I'm the Falcons, I try to see how he handles pressure. The thing is, the kid has got a ton of moxie. He's got a lot of moxie. And, you know, I think you got to see how he handles it, but you also got to be ready for him to deal with it, because he is somebody that makes some throws he's not supposed to, and they get completed.
Therese, going on the other side of the football and the defense, you lose stalwarts like a Tamba Ali, Derek Johnson, a Marcus Peters type player. Marcus Peters especially was one of the top corners in the entire football, in the entire NFL. What do you think was the thought behind getting rid of such a young player that plays such an important position at a high level?
You know, I think it came down to they didn't want to pay him, right? Marcus Peters has got he's got last year, then he's got a fifth-year option, and they were already starting to angle for a new deal. And, you know, I don't think the Chiefs, you know, that would have made him the highest paid corner in football to stay. And I think the Chiefs balked at that for different reasons. I just think that for them, you know, if you know you're not going to pay them for multiple reasons, you know, they decided to move on while they still could, because there wasn't going to be much value, especially if there was another season like they had last year with them.
Therese Paylor is the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, covers the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Talking about what the Chiefs and Falcons tonight. Can you, Therese, kind of just step back for a second and give me kind of an insight? What are the more intriguing divisions now? Is that AFC West? You have John Gruden taking over. We don't know what the heck is going to happen with Khalil Mack. Do you have any insight into the Raiders, Gruden, and Mack, and what could happen in that? I mean, the fines are like through the roof right now. What's your best guess on how this is going to finally play out?
He's going to have to end up coming back. I mean, at the end of the day, the $14 million contract this year, you know, he hasn't made enough money to be able to just pass on that. So, I mean, he's going to come back. And I think teams are increasingly more and more comfortable with letting guys play out the string, because especially if they're first-round rookies, because you get them for 5 years on their original rookie deal, and then you can franchise them for two. And by that time, you've owned the guy for 7 years. You've probably got the best football the guy's got to give. You know, I think that, you know, teams are just kind of comfortable with that. And look, is there something else beyond that? I don't know, because he's a team captain. He's only 27. He's one of the game's best players. Like, this is one of those guys you pay. I do know he's looking to break the bank. We also know the Raiders spend a lot of money, and they're not, they are fairly cash poor for an NFL team. You know, I wonder if they have it. Like, I wonder if they've got, like, the petty cash to pay the – like, I'm serious. Like, who knows? But what we do know is that in September he will be back. And he's going to play. He's going to have to play, because he's probably going to want to earn those checks.
All right, and then larger in the division, because from our vantage point, we look at the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers. Kind of go, I'm not really sure exactly how all that's kind of going to play out. Is there a – in your opinion, Therese Paylor, is there a definitive favorite in the AFC West?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. People ask me about that a lot, and I like the Chargers, man. I like the Chargers. I like Anthony Lynn. I've heard a lot of good things about him, but also I think it's important. They've got the best edge rush in the division, man. Like, that matters. That matters in this division. Between Joe Bosa and Mel Ingram, that's the best edge rush in the division. And that wins this division, you know. And I think that from the Chiefs' point of view, and really the Chargers and Raiders, I just don't think that after the Chargers, I just don't think that the other pass rushers are as good as they used to be. So I think that's going to open things up. I think that Keenan Allen and Phil Rivers are going to have a great season together, and I think the Chargers are on the come up. But Chiefs have won the last 2 years. You can't completely rule them out.
Torres, last one for me. Eric Berry. I mean, we saw him firsthand last time the Chiefs were in Atlanta. He just single-handedly won the game for him. Had a rough one last year. What is his status? I was reading up that he's been missing a couple days. Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's something else compensating for coming back from the injury. How important is it for him to be back to it, the level that he is accustomed to playing at?
Yeah, I mean, Eric Berry is probably the difference between these guys having a passable defense this year and one that's in the lower tier of the league. So, yeah, I mean, they need him to play 16 games. You know, I know you don't count a guy like that out. I know there's a lot of concern here, though, about that heel because he was having a similar issue before he was lost for the season in the season opener a year ago. So, you know, it's one of those things where we'll have to see. You know, I think that, you know, Barry's critical for the Chiefs, obviously, and, you know, they need that guy, man. They need him. It's a big difference without him out there, that's for sure.
Therese Paylor, we appreciate your taking a few minutes as we get ready for the Chiefs and Falcons tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Therese Paylor, senior writer, NFL writer for Yahoo.
Scary, man. And that's what
and Eric Berry. Eric Berry. He did when they – big homecoming, right? I mean, comes home, does the two-point return thing,
right?
He was
all over the place again. Like, you saw when he was guarding Gronk, when he went down, you knew what it was. And then everybody that I've ever known that has had one of these Achilles injuries, they all say it started with pain in the heel. So, just hopefully, you know, just pray that it heals because he's such – first, a great young man. Great story of where he come from and coming back from the cancer and everything and getting back to where he was.
I know. Incredible.
So, you just really hope that he gets back to being – one of those top performers in the league.
And, of course, no Eric Berry tonight because he is a little bit dinged up. And so, preseason, you're not going to see him. Where there's a regular season game, you might, but not tonight. But the Falcons and the Chiefs tonight, again, our coverage begins at 5 on this Falcons Friday. Complete coverage. When we say coverage starts at 5, I mean, we're going to have coverage.
Right.
Rick and John are going to have coverage because John Michael's going to be part of the broadcast. He's a sideline guy at 7 o'clock. Dukes of Bella have coverage.
How about that?
Our network coverage begins at 5. There you go. How about that? With the pregame show with Mike and Harper. At 5 o'clock tonight from 5 to 7, and then
Dave
Archer,
and of course Johnny Michaels.
Yes, and Johnny Michaels from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 7 o'clock kick between the Falcons and the Chiefs. I'm really anxious to be able to get to see the game tonight, and I have, you know, all the people here talking about, you know, it's preseason, but here the Falcons are. Remember, I haven't played a home game in 7 months.
Man, get excited, have fun. I mean, like John said, it's going to be a rough one. You stay OTP, is that what you call it? But get there early.
Peach Pass is joining us here. They're signing up a bunch of people today to get that Peach Pass for I-75, I-575, the extension on 85, giving away T-shirts. Of course, it's free to get your Peach Pass if you never have one. Join us down here. We've got a little bit more time to go from the racetrack on Thornton Road at I-20 in Lithia Springs with John and Randy Mack on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dew is going to include food in it because
we
I'm a giant food fan. Randy knows this. I've been in quite a bit in the racetrack that we're at. Just staring at the roller food. I had a biscuit, not going to lie. But Sunday is National Potato Day, and who doesn't love potatoes and always potatoes? So we're asking at our Vision Computer Poll on 92.9 The Game on Twitter, what's your favorite way to eat potatoes? Right now, 55% of people say French fries, 18% mashed potatoes, 15% hash browns. John, that's yours.
Yeah.
12% baked potato, and I did a write-in. Potato tots, and we've gotten a lot of potato salads.
That 15% of voting hash browns, that's smart people.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some hash browns. The potato salad, I mean, unless it's my mama's, I ain't eating nobody else's potato salad. But,
hey, Publix, I got good tater salad.
I ain't eating that no pub potato salad. If Andrew McMichael ain't making it, I ain't eating it. Mm-hmm, sorry, I ain't eating it.
And you can vote on our Twitter, of course, at 929 The Game. And since you brought up the social media, on our website right now at 929thegame.com, all the great content leading up to the Falcons Chiefs tonight on this Falcons Friday, go in, you'll see the Falcons tab. And when you go there, right at the top is the contest tab. We have got
Please
the greatest
contest.
Randy, this is the greatest contest I think I've ever seen.
It's pretty damn good.
It is pretty.
It is.
You click on that contest tab and just sign up. We're going to send Ackerman Security is sending two people to join Hugh Douglas to go up. And so Hugh and you and a buddy are going to go to Philadelphia for the opening game. What Ackerman is offering you, just to sign up, okay, at Ackerman? Two tickets to the game, two round-trip airfares on Southwest, two nights hotel stay, and a $1,000 gift card to Visa. Visa gift card. That's one prize, two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for two, hotel for two nights, and a $1,000 Visa gift card. All you got to do is go to 929thegame.com and click on the contest page and sign up.
And you get to hang out with you in Philly. Heck yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Yay.
Got a lot of people
Heck
dropping yeah. by saying hi here.
Yay.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Well, you could use that $1,000 if you were an Eagles fan to buy a banner to fly around the Patriots Gillette Stadium during a preseason game.
That's going to cost a little bit more than $1,000.
No, it was $1,000. That banner.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what I said.
John, I did that story earlier. Yes, $1,000 to fly the banner around Gillette Stadium.
How much business did he lose because he did that? Ain't nobody going to him
no more.
No one's
going to tell. I'm sure the plane didn't have a logo on it.
Bet. Somebody find out.
What if that plane, like, flew in from somewhere special?
Like when?
I'm going to make money, man. I'm not mad. Make your money. Well, I don't know if you guys saw these yesterday or not, but Twitter went absolutely bananas when they released Notre Dame football unveiled its alternate uniforms for the Syracuse game at Yankee Stadium this season. And, well, there's something all right. So they're going to play in the Shamrock Series on November 17th, and somewhat appropriate for the location, their players will be wearing pinstripes, except that these Under Armour uniforms are not exactly that great, in a really stark contrast from their throwback alternates from last season. So if you look at in depth at the uniform, the pinstripes are on both of the sleeves, the gloves, and the pants to replicate the iconic Yankees pinstripes that have been worn over 100 years by the team. Now there's also a cursive font saying Notre Dame on the chest of the jersey that matches the cursive Yankees font. But which is very interesting, you normally see Notre Dame wear the gold helmets. They're using a matte navy helmet, again with the Notre Dame logo, but it has the pinstripes on the logo and the decal on top where it says Irish just above the top of, I guess, the forehead piece is in Yankees font. So a lot of people, it essentially looks, have you guys seen the show Project Runway before? Where designers just sort of make, well, they
no,
make garments.
I
it's a reality
one, okay.
show where fashion designers come in. It sort of looks like a really bad Project Runway where someone just found some scraps of cloth laying on the floor and put together a uniform for Notre Dame and this game. So Twitter had a lot of fun with this yesterday because a lot of people not liking the uniform. One of my favorite ones, I'll show this to Randy.
Oh, that's pretty raggedy.
Sports Illustrated. No, this is something. So here's the original uniform.
Oh, okay.
This is the original.
Oh.
Yeah.
It looks like the Yankee uniform.
It looks exactly like the Yankee uniform. But what Sports Illustrated did is take the uniform a step further because sometimes social media can be okay when people aren't being mean. This is what we love social media for, because Sports Illustrated took the jersey and put most hated jersey in sports. So along with what Notre Dame did with these alternate uniforms and the pinstripes, they added in the Duke font, saying it would be Notre Dame with the Duke font. They put the Lakers colors inside the jersey.
I like it.
And they put the patch of the Cowboys star on the shoulders of this jersey, mm-hmm. just calling it the most hated sports jersey. But it just kind
of... Does it have a fleur-de-lis on it?
Who?
If it doesn't have a fleur-de-lis, it's not most hated jersey in sports, but that's okay.
Well,
Who's fleur-de-lis?
Fleur-de-lis.
The team on the southwest side of Atlanta that John does not like. The New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints.
Yeah,
John hates the Saints.
A fleur-de-lis.
I'm sure that you would have.
It's a flower. Put a flower on there.
Never ever knew what it was called, John. Yeah. I just know it's the Saints. Rapid.
Sorry, AT.
Yeah.
Arthur Trump.
By the way, those Notre Dame uniforms are such sellout.
They're horrible looking.
It's horrible. But worse, they're sellout.
Yeah.
I mean, you're selling out to the Yankees. You know, I mean, not bad enough that 90% of America already hates you. Now 98% of America hates you.
Outside
of the people of New York City, we don't care about them.
If you haven't seen them, I'll tweet them from at 929 The Game on our Twitter page. I can also post them up on our Facebook page at 929 The Game. Well, the baseball world, like our very own John Fricke and myself, Randy McMichael was mad when Marlins pitcher Jose Urena throwing that 97-mile-per-hour fastball at Ronald Acuna Jr. on Wednesday. Well, aside from a handful of people who applauded the pitcher and these unwritten rules of baseball, No one had really more of a heated reaction besides Brian Snicker and Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire, because Gardenhire's response probably would have had Urania thankful that he plays for Don Mattingly instead of the Tigers. So this according to Tyler Mason on Twitter. I asked Ron Gardenhire, who is the manager of the Tigers, pregame about the Ronald Acuna Jose Urania ordeal from last night, and he said, quote, I would be mad enough if I were the manager. I might start him tomorrow and lead him off just so they can smoke him and knock him out just because he did something so stupid, closed quote.
Right. So why was Mattingly not mad? Because Mattingly ordered it. That's why. He ordered it.
He should be fired.
He should be
Randy.
Fired.
Fired
Dondo.
Fired Dondo. Fire
Never
him.
Even watch a baseball game again.
Nothing.
Nothing. He shouldn't even be allowed at a T-ball game. No Little
team,
League World Series.
What team did he play for?
Mattingly.
I mean,
he played for the Yankees. Yeah, he played for the Yankees. But I mean,
he probably wore those Notre Dame uniforms.
Those things are ugly, though, man.
Yeah.
Real ugly.
Those things are terrible.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Pretty bad.
So this is a manager, John, that I found that, you know, was on your level of reaction.
Oh, fire and everything?
Fire Don Mattingly.
No. It's Dondo.
Listen to this. Only jealous. This is the underboss. Only jealous haters hate the 27-time world champions. Okay.
You Who?
Mean that's hey, you you're know, talking Sean. About the Yankees.
Yeah, Sean.
The Yankees cheat, you know, they buy themselves a title. They're gonna buy themselves a title again next year. You know, I mean that's the rule of the baseball. It's okay baseball. Yeah, you don't wanna actually, you know, try and do it like a real team. You just go out there and buy everybody.
The rules of baseball, like you should know? Hit somebody when you're not good enough to throw a pitch.
Gotta let that go.
That's ridiculous. Be good or don't be in the majors. Just do your job.
I was still mad.
Hashtag Team NYA. Go with
it. It is a Falcons Friday, 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Michaels will be large and in charge on the sidelines tonight in our game coverage, and he's coming up with Rick Campbell, top of the hour, on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.